Welcome to KiwiRadio.nz. I am your host, Ralphie. We have a legend tonight, Chris Yong, from many, many musical acts. He's a man of many hands, many mitts, many gloves, whatever you want to call it, and such a talented dude. We'll have him up first. Equally talented is Chris Bates from New Zealand. He's released a brand new song, and he told me that he's actually going to want to come and plug that song on a future podcast not too far away. So Chris Bates is the artist. This is a song he released called Takeaway Cut. And what I did was I kind of, surprisingly, got really creative with this and made a remix of the song, mashed it with another future bass track called by Conroe, and you know the song is Close from the Monster Cat record label, and mashed it together into a mashup and surprised him. And his lovely review was he's going to take down the original version from Spotify and replace it with this one. Yep, that's literally what he said. And I'll play it right now for you. Stay tuned as we have Chris Yong joining us. This is a brand new version and song released by Chris Bates, Ralphie Remix. Chris Bates, single Takeaway Cut from New Zealand, released just 3 days ago. And as mentioned, I decided to do a future bass remix of it 2 days ago. So it's fresh off the bakery, as the songwriting factory, whatever you want to call it. Chris sent me a voicemail of what he thinks of the remix. Here we go.
Hey, brother, what a legend. That's amazing, the remix. And
Yep, there we go. He's impressed. Yep, and he's going to take down the original Spotify version, apparently. But no, honestly, the original is equally stunning, so go check that out. Next up, we have double platinum New Zealand rock musician Chris Yong from many, many excellent bands, such as Tadpoles, probably the most known and loved one, but also Red Line, Static Era, Medirect, all sorts of things. So we're going to go through and deep dive into his discography. He's in the green room right now, so we'll fade it up. Welcome to the show there, Chris. Welcome to the show. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Let me just fix you up on the Bluetooth. How's that? Let's get this going. One moment, live caller.
Hello.
Hello, you are live on air. Yes, we can. I always do that.
Excellent.
If the phone line does work, I turn it off, turn it on again, and it magically works. So welcome to the show, Mr. Double Platinum. Holy moly. This is a big one.
Ralphie, thank you for... thank you for inviting me to have a bit of a chit-chat.
A bit of a chit-chat, spin some tunes, and, release it to the unknowing public. You are well-known and loved, especially for the band Tadpole. I remember as a young lad watching you guys on television, pimpled face and all, and here I am several decades later actually talking to the wonderful guitarist of that band. But you're actually many faces. Do you want to maybe... pick up the mic and tell us about yourself.
Let's see, where do I start? I mean, musical history-wise, Tadpole is probably what I'm most well-known for. It feels like a whole lifetime ago. We just released the debut album, The Butterfinger, on vinyl recently, and it's crazy to think that that was actually 23 years ago. So that makes me feel old.
That is a quarter of a century. You're doing well.
Yeah, it's crazy. It does feel like a lifetime ago. But we can dive a bit more into that. After my Tadpole experience, I formed a bit more of a harder rock band with my brother, which was called Red Line. And while it wasn't as prolific, we certainly had some amazing experiences. And then after that, I was in a band called Static Era, which, ironically enough, after my Tadpole experience, because at the time, my parting ways, there was a bit of disgruntled. In the band, I kind of swore that I'd never be in a band with another female singer, which I know is a bit of a weird thing, but it was just where my mindset was at. But then, lo and behold, I connected with this amazing singer, Emma G, and we started Static Era. So,
Emma G, well known and loved as a vocalist from X Factor. I happened to be there at X Factor seeing her shine in the top 10. So, great choice of vocalist.
Yeah, well, actually, I remember supporting her in her X Factor audition. I think it was one of the first times there. So that was certainly a really out of it experience, for her anyway. We did a couple of EPs and released a full album for Static Era. And then after that, more recently, we formed a band with a couple of guys. Called Medirect, which was a bit edgier again, with me back on vocals again. So anyway, that's kind of like the very short kind of, I guess,
biography.
CV, biography. Yeah, would you like to start?
Well, we're a storytelling show, but we're also all about the music. So what we'll do is we'll play the song, ask you what the song's about, all that sort of thing from your own memory kind of thing. We're going to go from your discography of oldest to newest, and this is the songwriter, the musician, the guitarist, the all-round legend, 25-plus years in the making. Start off with something well-known and loved. Let's go with Tadpole with a track called Set to Fade. And, thank you again for coming on. And, let's listen to some of your wonderful music. You're tuned into KiwiRadio.nz tonight. Simulcast as well on upfm.co.nz. Radio. That was Tadpole, Set to Fade. Check out the vinyl release and everything being celebrated this year. Tadpole's triple platinum selling debut album, Butterfinger, was actually originally released in August 2000 and became one of New Zealand's biggest rock albums of that decade, with seven massive singles debuting at number two in the New Zealand Top 40 album charts and staying there for almost 2 years. You can relive the 2000s and grab the vinyl. We have Chris Yong, the wonderful guitarist. What a classic sound. I grew up with Tadpole, so this is surreal for me. actually interviewing someone from the band. Do you kind of get that though? Like, you know, you're branching out to other projects still, but you know, you're still being connected to some of your, you know, best works, which is Tadpole. Do you still get that? Do you get people recognizing you from that band? Because you were on the television for quite some time.
I tell you what, as I guess I've got older, I initially thought that people would just forget about Tadpole, right? Because it was over two decades ago. But to my surprise and quiet joy, people remember it, and people remember it fondly. And going through this recent, recent initiatives where we're releasing the Butterfinger on vinyl again, and last year we compiled basically an anthology CD set of the band's career. It's been a very interesting nostalgic visit. But yeah, no, I really am grateful that people still remember, you know, what we did as like bold, ambitious 20-somethings 20 years ago. And the music continues. So I'm just really grateful that people do remember. And look, the reason that I thought it'd be good to jam Set to Fade on your show tonight, I mean, we could have picked one of the other ones that was one of the singles, but, and you're probably going to be one of the first to know this, we are going to release Set to Fade as the 8th single very shortly from the book. Okay. So I'm currently working to compile a music video, which we'll post on YouTube, which is going to have we've dug into the archives and digitized a lot of DV footage. So watch that space.
That's cool.
A bit of nostalgia there, but yes.
That reminds me a little bit like reliving some classics like Elvis Presley, A Little Less Conversation, you know, that kind of thing. But then they kind of dish out the old stems and things like that and remix it, or, you know, like kind of put it out there as if it was new, you know, that kind of thing. You remember that song, Little Less Conversation? Oh. I can't actually, is it who? Junkie XL. Put it back on the radio station as a JXL remix, completely into sort of that different vibe. And I don't know, I just think that's super cool how you've obviously really good at record take, you know, keeping. Yeah, you've still got all the masters and things after two decades. You haven't lost it after moving several houses or anything. So that's good.
Well, that's a whole other conversation and story altogether.
Oh, tell us, we're a storytelling podcast. Give us some nuggets.
All right, let me kind of give you the concise thing. So look, for ages, Tadpole music wasn't really continue to be kind of shared out there in a traditional sense, right? Like the CDs had disappeared off the shelf and a lot of the songs weren't available digitally to stream. And so what happened was, I've always like stayed connected with the band through the years. I mean, we haven't exactly like, you know, we're not like best mates, but we still stay in touch, and we had catch-ups from time to time. And one of the things was we noticed that our record label, that our music, they own the rights to, they just hadn't done anything with the music, even after all this time. And we knew there was like some demand for people to be able to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So that kicked off this whole thing last year where we actually hired a lawyer and we negotiated with the record label to basically pass the rights to the first two Tadpole albums back to us as the artists. Now, for anyone that doesn't know about the music industry, usually when a record label signs you, the record label owns the rights to your music for life. So it's actually a challenging process to even have a shot at this. But we were able to do it. And because we were able to secure the rights back to our first two albums, that's what gave us the ability to be able to compile the anthology 4-CD set, which happened to be the first two albums, third album, which was independently recorded, and then a fourth one, which is basically a collection of basically B-sides and unreleased tracks, which is more for like the hardcore fan, which had followed the band throughout its career. It kind of summarizes the gaps in between the albums. So that enabled us to do that, and that also enabled us to go through the process to convert and create a vinyl release for the Butterfinger album. So we're really stoked about that. So that's why there's this activity that's happening recently that hasn't been happening for like the last 15 years.
That's because cool,
we finally were in a position to do something with it.
Now, that's awesome. I'm looking at some of your photos. I'm sorry to delve so like deeply into Tadpole. It's just that I was such a big fan for such a long time. So do you think that now that you've got the stems, there are a possibility of like remixes and things like that? I don't know if you heard the first one, but, you know, Chris Bates, I did a fan remix basically and redid it into a future bass. I mean, are you going to be like considering giving it to a couple of DJs, things like that, and seeing what they do with the stems? Is that even possible now that you have the rights back?
All right. Well, once again, you're probably hearing it first on your show. Yes. Yeah, we are certainly interested in getting some you know, anyone really who's interested in wanting to reinterpret the music in a whole new way. Yeah, for sure. So that's something that we're also working on at the moment, making some stems available.
Nice.
I'm not sure when yet, but yes, that will be soon.
Here's a testimonial from our first artist.
Hey brother, what a legend. That's amazing, the remix.
Yeah, see, there we go. So remixer right here. No, that's awesome. Look, that's really cool. But we get to listen to your other stuff now. So after Tadpole, you got into a band with your brother, Redline. Tell us more about that kind of transition.
Yeah, so look, I think it's an interesting evolution for me personally as a musician, right? When I was the guitarist in Tadpole, I was literally just focused on guitar, just on riffs, and somehow when we jammed, like, songs kind of came together, right? But I wasn't really had a focus or an interest in what Renee was doing. That was her lane, writing lyrics and melodies. I was just the guitar. When Redline came about, my focus has shifted, and now I was more of a songwriter. I was looking at songs holistically and not just as a collection of guitar riffs. So from a musical creative perspective, Redline's quite special to me because this is me really going into songwriting mode, you know, putting my heart and soul into writing songs as a whole, writing lyrics, agonizing over how to write lyrics. I mean, lyric writing is a very challenging process at the best of times. So that's why the Redline phase is quite dear to me, because it was my evolution as a musician. It was me stepping into a vocalist role for the first time. It was me writing lyrics. So, that's probably it. And you know, when you haven't done something before, like singing, and I was confident in guitar playing, but singing was something which it took the reassurance of other people in the band to make me believe that that was something that I could step up and do. And my brother was a very key part of that. So that band is, while it's not as prolific as Tadpole, it means a lot to me in different ways.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we actually do have some live chat happening right now. We've got a listener in Australia, recordingstudio9.com. He's actually a really cool YouTuber if anyone's into recording stuff. He's listening in right now saying, "Let the stems out and let the fans remix. It provides extra free marketing." Absolutely. It's almost like, you know, music is such a joyful art form that it's like an infinite art form, eh? Like, you know what I mean?
We're definitely going to do that. There's a few things to tidy up and clean up. But, yeah, absolutely. I am really looking forward and hearing how other people can reinterpret the song. Obviously, as the one of the original songwriters, we had a certain vision, but it's always amazing when someone else can reinterpret that, because that's what art is. You take something and then you rework and create something new from it.
One of my favorite Kiwi remixes, seeing as though we're, you know, a Kiwi music station, Kimbra, a really awesome musician here, Kimberly Lee Johnson, she put out a song and it was remixed by DJ Shadow. And it's such a cool remix, you know what I mean? So, yeah, just things like that. But, yeah, thank you again, Recording Studio 9. Welcome to KiwiRadio.nz. If you do want to call in, open lines in New Zealand are 09-889-8555. Did it last week and actually got the live callers chatting to the artist. So if you want to do that, Chris Yong is on the mic there. Here is your chance. And, yeah, well, this is a special one here. Red Line is the next band that he was in. And Take Me In is the song. And you're tuned into Kiwi Radio, delving into 25 plus years of rich musical history with Chris Yong. Kiwi Radio. NZ. We are with the man, the legend, Chris Yong, 25 plus years of rich musical history. That's Redline with your brother. Really cool. I really enjoyed that. Next up is, so you, after Red Line or during the Red Line, you were probably juggling the projects, right? Did you go straight to Static Era or shuffling in between them, or what were you doing?
No. So what happened was there was a bit of a pause in between bands here, and part, well, one of the main reasons why Red Line went on hiatus was because my brother decided he was going to relocate to the UK. Now, at one point, we all discussed as a band that maybe we'd all try and relocate to the UK as well. Anyway, long story short, things didn't pan out. A couple of the guys moved over there. I stayed here in New Zealand. So I was actually bandless for a few years. And, you know, when you're a musician, it's one of those things that when you're not being a musician, you love going out and seeing your mates, and you get that itch. You know, you just want to get back up on stage and you want to get back writing songs. Anyway, so I was bandless for a little while. And then what happened was somehow I crossed paths with Emma G, because at the time I was actually hosting a music TV show on an alternative TV station called Alt TV that was operating back in the day. And one of the interviews was, Dr. Dave Snell. And Emma was going out with him at the time. But anyway, that's where I first met her, and I completely forgot about that. And then later on, somehow I forget how we reconnected, but she was actually looking for musicians to form a band. Like, she was a bit of an acoustic singer-songwriter, but she wanted to do a rock band project. And she never in a million years thought that I would actually offer to play with her. She was literally just asking if I knew of any musos. Like I said, I was bandless at the time, and I said, hey, I'm happy to, like, you know, do something, because, I'm not currently active. And so that's how it began. And a great friendship sprung from that. And, yeah, I think we were doing music together for 5-7 years, whatever it was, until she decided to relocate to the US, where she is now.
Yeah, no, that's true. The reason why I really like you as a musician is you don't stay idle for long, right? You get itchy hands and you want to do something, and I really like that. You know, as one door closes, another one opens for you, and you're an active person in doing that. It reminds me of, like, sort of those A-list actors that, I don't know, they might get their token roles that they're known for, like Friends or something. In your case, it's Tadpole. But, you know, they're still going. They're still auditioning for things, doing this, doing that, and that's what you're doing with music. So I really like that about you. Now, because you've got such a rich history, I want to point people to a central website, if that's okay. So the website that I found, and correct me if I'm wrong, is music.chrisyong.net. Would that be the best place to point people at? Because that's your Bandcamp, right? Music.chrisyong.net. That's what I found on the internet.
Yes.
It's got Metarex, Red Line, Static Era, all that.
Yeah. Yeah. If they just search Chris Yong Music, or, you know, ChrisYongMusic.com or Chris Yong Music in Google, you'll get to that.
Cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Hey, also a big shout out to Nitin, who is here every week supporting the show. He's actually listening in from India. If we can actually, you know, get him on the phone, that would be awesome. But yeah, he's always listening in, just, you know, putting his, being part of the community, which is amazing. And becoming friends of the podcast, you know, that makes a fun radio show. Nitin, hello.
Hello, Rafi. How are you?
How's things over there in India?
It's good.
Okay. How are you enjoying the show this week? We've got a rich talent here, Chris Yong.
I just tuned in, Rafi.
Awesome. Well, what's happening over there in India? Anything? Oh, actually, Here's the thing, right? So Nitin is very good, very intelligent, very political too, like I am. I actually got to interview upcoming politician, NZ Loyal, Jeanette Wilson, doing the elections next month. And the reason why I'm segueing to this is Chris Yong actually did a little bit of a thing back in the day with the Internet Party and those elections. Chris, maybe you can tell us a little bit about your experience. Are you a little bit dainted after that? How are you feeling post-election? Give us the real deal.
Oh,
Nitin,
boy.
Feel free to chime in anytime, Nitin.
Definitely.
All right. Look, it was definitely a very interesting experience. I'd never been that much of a political person up until that point. So I kind of went into things quite naively, I think, in hindsight, if I look at things. The main thing that I guess I learned was that a lot of what is shaped, and I think that's the only way to describe it, the media looks to shape stories and to shape narratives, because I often found it really interesting how my on-the-ground experience didn't seem to align with what was being communicated in the media. There was like this, it seemed like this unusual disconnect. My experience was actually very short-lived. I think I campaigned for about 8-9 weeks, something like that. It was very interesting. It was generally a big learning experience for myself.
What got you into it? What was the driving reason why you wanted change in your country, New Zealand, at the time? For you, was it housing? Was it just the economy? Was it just the unfair this, unfair that? What was the why that got you into sort of that running for politics?
I tell you what, it wasn't any one particular issue. What it was is my day career is actually in the, I guess, the digital data analytics internet space. And so when a party sprung up that had a focus on that, and they had policies that were supportive of enabling like a digital economy, It sort of resonated with me because I was working in that industry. So that was what first kind of piqued my curiosity. And then someone said to me, first of all, that they were then looking for candidates and they were going through a bit of an open audition process. And someone asked me, why don't you give it a go? And originally I turned it down and said, no, that's not really something that I thought I'd be interested in. And then later on, I thought about it. And really what it came down to was when, with my band experience, one of the driving factors for writing music is that it can touch a person and make a difference in their lives, right? And I certainly had a few of those experiences from my tadpole days. I mean, when people tattoo their body with your band logo, you realize just how much your creativity can have a positive impact on someone else. So I guess I rationalized it and said, I'd like to be able to continue to make a difference with people, but this is just a different
avenue,
medium,
yeah.
A different avenue. So like I said, I kind of went into things quite naively, but I thought, well, if I can like make a difference, then I will. So anyway, I didn't realistically think that I'd become a candidate. I put my hand up, I went into the audition process, and then lo and behold, I qualified.
Yeah, so, no, that's good. Well, so in a way, you were part of the public eye already. So how I see it is leaders come in all sorts of sectors. It reminds me of like prefects at high school. You were the prefect of the art form, you know, like you're highly respected and everything. And you obviously cared enough for change and that sort of thing. I actually, seeing you run in the internet party, for me, made you really relatable. Like, because a lot of the times some musicians, you know, it's all about themselves or something like that. But here you are running into politics, obviously trying to make a change in your community. So for me, as an outsider, again, a big fan of Tadpole, but also it just made you really relatable and likable as a person. So that's why I asked that question. Nitin, did you want to chime in on anything? As for you know, media, I always do find it interesting how they've got what's, quote, creative editing. But anything you want to chime in there, Nitin?
Nothing of today, Ralphie. If I would listen to the show early, I would have had some questions, but I just popped in, so yeah.
What's your thoughts on media in general over there in India?
Oh, it's very biased.
In what way?
Like each media, like they try to, so here there's not two parties, there's multiple parties in politics. So each media favors one, and they just try to upscale the one which they are funded by and try to pull down the other.
All right. Anything else there, Nitin? Otherwise, enjoy the show, okay?
Yes, definitely.
All right. Thanks for being part of the community and just supporting us every week, okay? Cheers.
Thanks.
Make sure you spread the music around India too. Are you blasting it out
definitely.
Your speakers? Play some Tadpole. Play Tadpole.
All right. I usually play this music from this one when I'm in office. I usually play it in the speaker.
Oh, wow. Like that's amazing. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cheers. Enjoy.
Bye, Rafi.
Open lines as well. If you are in New Zealand, we have a landline 09889855. We sometimes get people in, but let's get to the next song there. I really enjoyed you taking that caller as well. I kind of threw you in the deep end there, Chris, but thank you for that. We'll move to, you were talking about Emma G. Let's actually play the music. This is the stunning vocalist Emma G as part of the band Static Era, in which Chris played guitar. And do you want to add anything short about what DME is about?
Let's listen to it first and we can have a quick chat afterwards.
Awesome. That's a really great idea. Yeah, Kiwi Radio, you're tuned in to kiwiradio.nz, but also simulcast on upfm.co.nz. kiwiradio.nz. Sometimes I forget to kind of look who's listening, but I'm pleasantly surprised that we've got a boutique audience of 32 unique listeners in four different countries today. So hello to New Zealand, Auckland and Taupo. We also have Los Angeles listening in. We have Tunisia listening in somewhere in Africa. I have no idea. And also South Korea. South Korea? That's insane. I don't know, unless they're using one of those, what do they call it? VPNs, but South Korea? Anyways, welcome back to the show, everybody, to Kiwi Radio. We've got the wonderful Chris Yong, and that was just Static Era. So, yeah, tell us about that song, actually. That's quite powerful.
It is powerful, which is why I thought it'd be better to talk after we've heard it. Look, basically, it's a suicide prevention song. At the time, Emma had lost someone that she knew to suicide, and we were in the practice room, and this was one of those songs that just kind of fell out of the both of us as we were writing. It was originally written on an acoustic guitar, and she was just trying to channel her feelings and process everything. Anyway, obviously it evolved quite substantially from just being an acoustic guitar to what you heard there, but it's one of the favorite songs that we wrote together because it's a powerful song, and her vocals are amazing. And I think it's one of those songs which hopefully if someone hears it and they are going through a challenging time, just you can get through to the next day. Because the whole concept of the song is her future self is calling her old self who is struggling. So, you know, dear me, I just called to say I love you. It's your future self saying that you can get through whatever hardship you're getting through. So yeah, it's quite a intense song when you understand the kind of background behind it. But yeah, still one of my favorites that we wrote together.
I really love that. Words are so powerful, and art forms, like creatives like you, you have no idea how much impact you do give to other people. Like I'm struggling a little bit this year as well, and I know lots of people, many, but to kind of hear that you say that the story of that song is, yeah, you know, you should always just, it's like a season, so you will get through it. So really powerful that that future self was talking to things. So it just makes that song even more powerful. Even hearing that backstory.
Well, that point that you made around life being seasons, that could be more true. You are going to go through periods which are just wonderful and summer and the sun's out and everything's just falling into place. And then you're going to have times where it feels like the world is falling apart around you. You're going to have like these winter periods, and some of them can get very dark. And we're all human beings, right? I think the thing which can trap us is when we're going through these periods and we feel alone, we don't think anyone else experiences the same thing, and it's hard to kind of reach out to someone because you think you're the only one going through this. But we all have these shared experiences, and someone has probably already been what you've been through. You're certainly not alone. So that's the only thing that I would, you know, say is that there will always be, at some point tomorrow will be brighter. Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a challenge, but tomorrow is brighter. So
yeah,
tomorrow will be brighter.
And never take it for granted. There are those hidden challenges. You know, people might be smiley at your face front and everything, but you know, there are always hidden challenges. I remember a friend of mine, telling me yesterday on the topic of suicide. There was a guy at the bus stop, and this girl actually stopped to talk how his day was and everything. And he actually mentioned, like, you know, actually after this interaction, I feel a bit better, and that, you know, I'm not going to commit suicide or anything like that. So it's just those random acts of kindness can also help. But the powerful thing about music is that you as an artist, you can be like in multiple living rooms at the same time, affecting people through music and your message and everything. So you know, it's a really cool position to be in, actually. there, Chris. So because I actually think you're an amazing, talented, but also down-to-earth person. So someone to really – you should be New Zealander of the Year, actually. Has anyone voted for you as New Zealander of the Year?
I think you're right. Musicians and artists do have that ability, but I would also say those random acts of kindness, you don't have to be an artist to be able to make someone else's day. Sometimes there are things that we do that we don't even realize the impact that our littlest actions can have on someone else. We honestly don't know. Like, we could just, you know, strike up a little conversation, just give someone a little bit of attention for a while. Now, you know, to us, it may not have meant much, but to someone else, that little thing could have meant everything. And I think that's just something to be mindful of in this crazy world, which can get quite divisive at times with all sorts of opinions out there. Just remember that sometimes just the little things can make a big difference, and you don't have to be an artist to record music and express yourself that way. It could just be turning to a stranger and just having a quick chit chat. You have no idea what another person is going through. So the little things can make a big difference. And if enough of us, you know, do these nice little things, then it does have a ripple effect.
Absolutely. I mean, case scenario, Linkin Park, really awesome band. But apparently what got them like super fans is that every gig they would literally make efforts to talk to anyone and everyone in the crowd after the show, you know. They were really down to earth. And here you are as well, Chris Yong, right? Speaking to, 36 people in the world right now. So we're pretty boutique right now, but you're making the effort. You're making the time. But obviously this podcast will be available as an MP3 download. So like Nitin in India, you might want to download the show afterwards and play it at work or something like that. We're in the car. Relive the moment. So, yeah.
And you know what? I just want to add, Ralphie, look, full credit and kudos for what you're doing as well, right? You know, you're a creative as well. You're expressing yourself through this medium of podcast, and you know, you've got these other things that you do on the side as well. It's no easy feat. It takes time, it takes effort, and it takes commitment. But you know, I'd say that, you know, you're making a difference out there by, you know, connecting people, creating a community, having conversations. You're making that difference as well. And you know what? The numbers, it doesn't really matter whether it's 1,000 people or it's 10 people. It's, you know, if that's 10, 36, whoever, quality people that you're making an impact on. Look, when you do eventually find out that you've helped, like, a person in a way that you had no idea, it's motivating, it's inspiring. So anyway, I guess I'm digressing, but I just want to say thank you for what you're doing and the impact that you're having as well.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. And you know what? So my Tuesday nights, I always look forward to it. We're running to like close to 100 episodes now. And one of my favorite podcasters told me, just turn up, be jack in the seat, turn up every week. And we do get a bit of a niche following, knowing that we're here every 7 p.m. New Zealand time. And we're interviewing one of my favorite musicians right now, Chris Yong, who is in multiple bands. But we're going through your discography from oldest to newest. We're wrapping up with your newest one now. Well, Metarect, this is the one that I know least of. Maybe you want to tell us about Metarect, where you are now musically.
Yeah, okay. So Metarect is not active at the moment. This was a project that started several years ago. I tell you what, the older you get, the harder it is to keep music projects together, because life gets in the way. It starts just getting a lot more complicated as compared to when you're, you know, in your 20s and you've got not as many responsibilities and you can have ambitions of taking over the world. Totally. So anyway, that's kind of just to share that the current status of that band. But we recorded several songs, and once again, this is an example of me hopping back on the vocals duty in this band. It appeals to
you're singing
my
in this one?
Yeah, I was singing in Redline, and I then went through a period where I didn't do any singing because of Stab Here and Imagery, and then this is a band where I'm back on vocals again. So
what's that like, stepping from guitar to vocals? What's that like for you?
It was incredibly scary, if I'm to be honest, because I feel like you can hide behind an instrument. You can hide behind a guitar. You can't hide behind vocals. You've got to channel your vulnerability into vocals, and it's incredibly nerve-wracking because, you know, especially if you like to be quite critical of yourself, you're always going, I wish that had been better, or I had done this better. You know, there's always all of us have a level of self-doubt, and I guess it really comes to the fore. Well, for me anyway, when it comes to vocals, because it wasn't my primary instrument. It was something that I moved into from guitar. So I'm more comfortable on guitar than vocals, but it was something by necessity that I needed and wanted to do if I was going to continue to express myself musically. So that's that. So Redline, Metaractor, me on vocals. Metaractor's track we're about to listen to is definitely something which appeals more to my edgy metal background.
Nice.
So, yeah.
We will be closing the show now with this song. It is bang on 8 o'clock. That's the bell ringing for the end of podcast. We want to say a hello to Matt as well. And for listening in from Melbourne. But yeah, it's been the fastest hour. We actually crept up to 44, so we're peaking now, and it's I've got like a live map telling me who's listening, so it's kind of creeping up, 44, almost 50, so it's really cool. But yeah, please download this later and share it with the world. Chris Yong, where can people find you? Where do you want, yeah, give us your wares. Where do you want people to visit you?
Just Google Chris Yong Music. You'll find my Instagram. You'll find my website. I've got a YouTube channel, but I don't actually do much on
you
there.
You do?
So, but yeah.
You've got a YouTube channel?
Well,
that's cool.
I kind of use it more to archive and keep track of all different music videos from the bands that I've been in. So, I'm not an active YouTuber, though, but it's just for me to kind of collect stuff.
No, that's cool. Hey, the thing I like about YouTube this year is they got into like at symbols, so you can like start. I noticed you can start tagging other people now with that at symbol, and you've got a really easy one to remember. So it's youtube.com / and then the at symbol Chris, Chris Yong, Yong. Find him on YouTube as well. And I just really appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing your journey. What's actually, other than the Tadpole stuff being released and things like that, is there anything else, any other projects you want to tell us about or you're working on? Are you secretly working on a techno or reggae album? I don't know. Like, tell us, what are some of the stuff that's in your project pile but you don't want to share? Or, you know, tell us what's in the studio, what's happening. Like, do you have your own recording space? Like, what are you doing there?
I tell you what, I'm looking to rekindle my music creative songwriting again. But one of the things, I need to upgrade my computer because I think I've thrashed my 2012 MacBook Pro to death now. And it's starting to splutter when I fire up Logic Audio to record ideas. So I need to get myself a more recent MacBook Pro, and I'll be starting to explore ideas again from, my little man cave at home.
Before we play the song as well, we'll just do a quick live call. It's more fun when you call in 09889855. Matt, what's happening in Australia over there, mate?
Good afternoon, Ralphie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, enjoying the music. We actually have Chris Yong here, who's a double platinum musician and everything. He also had a short stint in politics at Internet Party. Do you want to ask him Anything musically or any or politically, anything? What's happening? What's on your mind?
I'm sorry to say that I just joined, so I haven't caught any of what's happening.
Well, you could catch it on replay for sure. What's happening in Australia? Give us a 1 minute plug.
It wasn't so much Australia, it's currently Morocco with the earthquakes.
There's earthquakes happening in Morocco?
Yeah, a couple of days ago, which is funny enough that they already had smart cities planned for there a couple of years ago.
All right, all right. Wait, well, stay on the line there, Matt. I don't want to cut you off, but I will say sign off with Chris Yong first, but then I'll get you back afterwards if that's okay. You mind hanging out? Are you chilling? Yeah. Chilling like a villain?
Yeah. All right.
I'll call you back in a couple of minutes, but Chris here is been on for an hour, so we got to let him do his thing as well. But Chris, so we're signing off with your show, with your song. You're making some good stuff. We'll visit your website and everything. Is there anything else you want to add as a sign off?
As a sign off, no. Just continue to support local talent. You know, wherever that may be, whether it's music, theatre, podcasting, you name it. Yes. And I'll sign off that we are coming up to an election. So look, just do your own research and vote wisely. Don't fall just for the personalities that are out there, but actually see what the parties stand for, what they would like to achieve as a party when they're in parliament. So that's what I would suggest. Just be curious, do your own research, vote wisely.
On that note, we did do an elections special last week with Jeanette from NZ Loyal. I think they've got some really good things there on NZ Loyal. Check them out. But yeah, you do you, obviously, and vote for who you want to. I don't know. I just feel like maybe don't vote for the major two. Try something different this year. I don't know. What do you think there, Chris? Well, unless you recommend voting the major two? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I'm not going to tell anyone what they should vote for or who they should vote for. But look, I would certainly suggest look at the other alternatives that are available as well. I mean, they're the ones that are hungry to make real difference out there. So I suggest, just see what they've got to offer.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Well, Chris, you're a talented man. We've got we had you for an hour, so I really appreciate your time. And you stay cool, stay creative. I'm actually going to look forward to some Tadpole remixes and things like that. And just Tadpole in general. I just think that's, the coolest band in the world. And I hope you take over the airwaves again soon. And you enjoy your time staying cool and staying creative, okay?
Thanks, Rafi. And as soon as I've got some stems that you can remix, I'll let you
Woo-hoo!
Know.
I was hoping you'd say that. I'll do my thing. Yep. And I actually did a remix of Salmonella Dub once. I did a drum and bass remix, and my friends in like for a very long time kept playing it for ages and ages, and I'm just like, dude, can you not? I'll certainly love to. And or even just go through one of those avenues. I know some musicians, they go through like remix competitions and things like that. So, I'm happy to compete and do my thing. Absolutely. I think it's exciting to revisit and relive the wonderful Tadpole discography. It's certainly a gem, but also your other stuff too. So I hope everyone checks out Chris Yong and his many talents. We're going to sign off now with Metaract, and the song is Never Forget. And we'll never forget this interview, that's for sure. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Robbie.
All right, stay cool, stay creative. That will be the show, unless, you want to jump on very quickly, 09889855. I think Matt wants to jump on for a few minutes, but yeah, kiwiradio.nz.
Yeah.
kiwiradio.nz. Open lines 09889855. That was the man, the legend, Chris Yong there, going from his discography of 25 plus years of New Zealand music from oldest to newest. Go check him out, Chris Yong. Open lines, we have Matt now, so don't feel rushed now there, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. How many we got listening in?
Okay, so let's have a look at the stats right now. We have 22 unique listeners. We have USA listening. We have Tunisia listening. We have South Korea, Australia, I'm guessing that's you, and also New Zealand, Taupo, and Auckland listening. So 22.
Getting a few more pop in every now and then.
Yeah, I think the stats just show me a map and people come and go, so it's been fluctuating between 20 and 40. But we're hoping, you know, whoever is listening they can download this later and spread the word like that, and it'll be available as an MP3. So, yeah, tell us what's on your mind. No rush. You have the floor.
So we were talking about Morocco and the earthquake that just happened couple of days ago, 8th of September, there was a 6.8 magnitude. Now, the funny thing is that someone pointed out that area is actually 77% of the global phosphate distribution. So that accounts for a massive amount of agricultural fertilizer. So if they happen to stop exporting, that might actually affect food in a few months to next year.
Where do they export food to?
It's the fertilizer.
Oh, the fertilizer. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, dear.
Yeah, so I'm going to keep an eye out for that if anything happens with the fertilizer especially, because then that is trouble if that happens.
Yeah. Where are you getting most of your sort of news feeds from?
See, I don't get it just from one source. Obviously, TikTok is very good depending on who you're following. And then Instagram is full of people trying to get the word out. And then, say, Mike Martin's Dollar Vigilante, just a big bowl of different people that have different opinions of what's going on at the time being.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's not just listen to one thing and, oh, that's the truth, but if multiples say the same thing, then there must be something behind it.
Yeah, that's what I find too. Like, what the truth lies somewhere in the middle, you know? So it's
more investigate new stuff unless multiples say what's going on.
Okay. Well, you mentioned the stream was stuttering before, so I've restarted it now, so hopefully people are tuned in still. But the radio station has been no interruptions. It always seems to be like the YouTube that stutters, so I don't know why, but the radio hasn't cut off or anything, so I'm glad we're using multiple computers and trying to be cheeky that way. But yeah, it's always great to have your opinions and matters and things like that, because you're based in Australia, so you get a different view of the world from where I am. What else?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
What else do you see? Listen out. What else do you see from Oz point of view?
Well, next month we actually have a compulsory vote for The Voice, which is to do with the Aboriginal heritage of this land, which is actually going to be a Trojan horse where the natives claim the land back for themselves or their heritage. And there's currently thousands of claims. If they go through, then I don't know what happens to the people or the houses that are on that land, whether they have to bulldoze it or just abandon it, I don't know.
I don't know. You see, like, in New Zealand, we have Maori land, and there's a sector of the Maori population, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but they use their ethnicity to claim their ancestral rights, right? So you hear of places like, you know, Maori tribes and things like that claiming land back and things like that, because, you know, back in the treaty, it was bought for blankets and muskets and not much, so they're wanting, you know, they're wanting their fair share back. But it's actually costing the taxpayers here a lot of money, because what people don't realize, it's like the money is being funneled back into these entities, and there's always like top-ups, they call it top-ups, of funding going back to essentially like royal bloodlines. But it, rather than funding shared assets, it's going into these entities. I'm not sure if you're aware of that there. So similar, is it?
I don't know the details of it, but what multiple people have pointed out, that's what could happen. So, yeah, I could be wrong, but time will tell after the vote goes through.
Hmm. So is the vote like a what do they call it? Like a flash vote ballot thing? What do they call it? You have to turn up somewhere and vote, or do it online, or yeah, what?
Like a normal voting, show up to vote.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they have postal votes. So you either have to write the word yes or the word no. A cross won't be counted. They'll put that as a yes.
What's in your heart? What's in your gut? What are you going to do with that vote?
I will go no, based on the stuff I've seen and heard from the people pointing out that it's not what they are saying it is.
Mm. We have an election next month, and I don't know if you heard, we did an election special last week, with NZ Loyal, and Jeanette Wilson, who's basically a natural healer, not really a politician, got into it out of necessity. A lot of her candidates were mandated out of jobs and things like that. And so really interesting party to look at, NZ Loyal. But what she was telling me, and I totally agree, one of the things that she thinks is tax in New Zealand has become so complicated, and she wants to introduce like a 1% sales tax like throughout, because it's actually costing New Zealand millions of dollars to administer whether or not your refunds are correct and things like that. And it's just sinking funds, you know, down the hole. And just really interesting things as well, like, you know, ending our decoupling from the WHO and things like that. What are your thoughts on that matter, by the way?
Any chance to get away from the WHO and all those organizations, do it. Because they're going to run over everything.
Yeah, they have so much. They can sway what happens so quickly, you know, and without really much say from us, right?
Yeah, but for the example, like Mr. Biden announced a few months ago, oh, we're going to take out your gas stoves. And now Victoria, where I am in Melbourne, from January 1st next year, you will not be allowed a gas stove to be put into a new place or a new building. So now the next one is really quiet. Mr. Biden wants to take away ceiling fans.
Ceiling fans. Woo!
The claim is they're not very efficient, but the ulterior motive is to actually get everyone onto the smart technology where they can control your thermostats.
Yeah.
That's pretty obvious. I shouldn't have to convince anyone of that. Because it happened last year in Europe. They were not allowing anyone to go above 18 degrees. which middle of the winter, that's cold.
Why are they putting so much effort in there? I guess they wanna. How I see tax is they wanna squeeze the purses with every cent as much as possible, you know?
Yeah, it's by design. They're doing everything by design. There's always something behind everything they do.
I think it's because if you bankrupt a nation or you cripple a nation economically, what happens then is you reduce their options as a citizen and things like that, and it increases compliance because of it.
Wasn't there a country during the pandemic where it was South Africa somewhere that if they didn't comply with the country's rules or the World Bank's rules, they're going to go in and take over the country.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was going to be a really big event. Not that we would have heard about it.
Mm.
But yeah, that's the power of these organizations.
See, the other thing I think is like, so I was speaking with Jeanette Wilson, the candidate of NZ Loyal last week. Our elections, if you didn't know, October 14th. But she was just saying that, you should just listen back to that interview. It was a really, really stunning interview. But what I'm trying to say is I think we're born into a system that's essentially so corrupt or trickled up in a way, designed to trickle up and feed certain sectors of society, that it's almost impossible to reverse it, or people that are trying to reverse it are either, you know, killed or imprisoned. How do you think people can turn that around this election run? Do we keep on continue the voting game, or do we need to do something different?
Yeah, the voting game is rigged. A lot of people can't see that. My example would be the last election here in Australia. See, after the day of voting, the scrutineers come in and check everything, that all the ballots are checked and all the stuff they do. These people were not allowed in. So they had security at ready to arrest people that were going to go in. And they said, "We're scrutineers. Why aren't we allowed in?" And they didn't even give them an answer.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of fraud going on.
Do you find it weird? Do you find it weird that if we're meant to be in a democratic country, that the people that we hire hide in the shadows and, you know, don't film here and that kind of thing, whereas what I'd like to see, like the Beehive, which is the, you know, the where all the politicians are in New Zealand and Wellington, rather than concrete walls, I'd love to see just like glass walls, like everything see-through. You can see and hear everything. That's how it should be. But if they're designing these walls that they can hide under, it's just frightening. You know what I mean? Like it's not really transparent.
Yeah, there's a lot of secrecy going on.
We had a call yesterday, actually. Craig summed it up nicely. You know, I think the politicians or people at power have forgotten what their job is.
Yeah, it's like they have a script to go by, and if they don't, then they are put out of their power.
Oh, that's what I want to tell you. So Jeanette Wilson was saying that the politicians that are in now, like the main two parties, they're voting like amongst each other to increase their pay. You know, the PM is like 450,000 salary, or, you know, the MPs want to increase their salaries from 170,000 to, you know, make it around 200, that kind of thing. So they're voting amongst themselves to, you know, whereas, you know, teachers are getting, what, 40? Police officers are getting 60. How is it? How are you meant to run like a functioning society when the people deciding it just cushioning their own pockets. How I heard it is someone was actually working for an Australian politician, and they always say that, you know, some of the managers are really good at re-electing themselves, but not actually, you know, managing society, people, you know, improving people's lives. What are your thoughts on that? I'm just rambling.
it's really hard to give a proper opinion. It's more based on the things I've seen and things pointed out from different people, you know. But yeah, it's like the overlords control too much. Do what I say or you're out. That's what I see. But the best people can do is keep pushing and try and make their voices heard. That's basically all you've got.
Yeah, I think so. And there will come a time where there's nothing left to lose. Like, you know, like some people think, you know, if you speak out and things like that, oh, shame, like you're dividing society. Like you shouldn't have an opinion, get along to get along. But there will come a time where we have no option. I think the time is now. So, which is why I'm pretty open, you know, like, you know me, right? I talk the talk. But thank you again, Matt. Was there anything else before we close the show? We've done a 40-minute sort of extension, actually. You've been on the phone for 20.
Sweet.
That was fast, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I think I could talk to you for hours. You're like my pen pal there in Australia. It's really cool that you do chicken and actually have a platform to say what you need to say. And I always say that I'm like a facilitator for people. Like, that's why it's open lines. So I really do appreciate you calling in, okay?
It's good just to have someone to express different things that are going on.
Yeah, I think so, because I liken it to, you know, like, it's good to have someone going through this kind of same thing, same thought process, you know. You don't get into that. You don't become insane otherwise. So, but yeah.
Yeah, it's so hard to talk to the everyday person because they don't know this stuff. They're fixated on their sports or the TV programs, and that's all they talk about. And they don't want to know about who's controlling the world, what's going on behind the scenes, sort of thing.
I find it frightening but also interesting what we're living through as well. And in the end, you gotta live through things with your community. So I really do appreciate you being part of this community, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
One last thing I must say. People have pointed out like a pre-programmed thing, say like in The Simpsons, they do their programming and all the different movies throw in little hints at something. Multiple points of reference for September 23. So whether that's this year, I don't know. But if something major happens, think back to this because, yeah, if you think back, just think this was a big plan unfolding.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying something's going to happen, but just in case something happens.
Yep.
September 23.
You heard it here. It's September 12th. September 12 now. I hope the only thing that happens in September 23 is that it rains. There we go. Feed the garden. Yeah, that's it. So thank you so much, Matt, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Sure, no problems.
Anytime,
thanks for having me.
Anytime you see me online, if you've got anything in your mind, just you know, you're on the VIP list, just call in.
Sure, no problem.
All right, cheers. Well, you have a good day there in Australia. All right, thank you very much for being part of this community. We did sort of an extended live this 12th September 2023. It is 8:30 now. We usually close the show at 8:00, but you know, it felt like chatting. And we'll be open lines again next week. If you're in New Zealand, 09889 8555. We've got more guests come each and every week, Tuesday 7 p.m. I'm your host, Ralphie. Thanks again to Chris Yong. replay this back as an MP3. Free download, kiwiradio.nz. We want to thank everyone at upfm.co.nz as well. We want to thank our sponsor, AucklandMamaMarket.co.nz. We want to thank all the musicians submitting all their music to us. And please stay cool, stay creative. Thanks.